Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and services. David, we've been talking for the last few podcasts about the millennial generation, those people born in the United States between 1980 and 2000. Startlingly enough, this is the largest generation in American history in terms of live births. We've learned a great deal about the millennial generation in our discussion. Disappointingly, we've discovered that only about 12 to 15% of these individuals identify themselves as evangelical Christians. So the church is missing out on a huge number of this very important generation. Getting direct feedback from millennials is the easiest way to learn their thoughts about your church. And that seems to be one of the possible solutions to this problem you've come up with after much research, reading a lot of books on the subject, but more importantly, for a year and a quarter, David, you've had conversation with millennials in your home every week. You've learned a great deal from them about their generation. You've given them a listening ear. And the whole idea of getting feedback from them is so key in helping churches relate to this generation. Can you talk about the way a church might go about doing that?
Well, I was kind of forced to, Dean, because I preached at your church recently, and I thought, now, what am I going to suggest? Because your church is probably like three-quarters of the churches in the United States. There aren't a whole lot of millennials there, and the age of the church is getting older all the time. What I suggested, I laid out the problem. I said, you know, if you forecast the future of these churches, there are going to be a number of funerals. And over a period of time, the congregation gets smaller, and pretty soon they say, we can't pay the bills. And then the church closes down. There have been large numbers of church closings. We can talk about the mega churches and all the successful churches, but overall, in the United States, the church is losing ground. There's no question about that, not only in terms of numbers, but in terms of influence, in terms of the country. And somewhere that millennial generation has to be reached, but it won't be reached by the church as we presently know it. So then, having laid this out, tried to give some kind of a biblical base for what I was talking about, then I went way out on a limb. And what I suggested was, your congregation, it's financially relatively sound. And I said, probably what I'm suggesting would take somewhere between $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Here's what I would do. You're fortunate because you're in a city where you have three universities. You're talking about millennials at this point in time who are somewhere between 13 and 34. So if you're talking people in their 20s, you're going to get the student age, whether they're graduate or college students. You could even find, I'm sure, someone in the early 30s who's without work and would want work. First, I'd get somebody in charge of this in regard to the church, someone who can relate to those ages and someone who's a good listener and doesn't get into arguments all the time, or maybe a committee. And I would advertise that I was looking for, or the church was looking for, five millennials, and they will be paid. I suggested how much you'd have to pay if you were from my area of Chicago. That was all relative, you know, but we will pay you to come to our church and sit in on an adult class, which is what the church services begin with at your church on Sunday. And then you sit in on the worship service, and then we will take you to lunch, and we just want to have your opinion as to what's going on. What is attractive? What is unattractive? Tell us how you're responding to what is happening. Talk to us about our music. And I said, I think you would be quite surprised, because many millennials really like liturgy, which your church is liturgical, and your church has a sense of very high standard of music. And I think you can find students and young people who will respond to that very much, that they like that. I wouldn't choose somebody necessarily who, I mean, you're the employer. You can choose whoever you want. Somebody who has no appreciation for music. I think millennials, you'd be quite surprised, would relate extremely well to the Sunday school class I sat in on and just observed. But you can pick and choose. I would say of the five that you hire, if you choose to hire that many, pick at least two of those as minority, because 40% of millennials are minority. They don't have to be church people. You get a lot of people who say they have church background who aren't in church somewhere. And you're going to hire them not just for one Sunday, but for 13 Sundays or 3 months. And every Sunday they get more accustomed to you, and every Sunday they see more of what is going on. They begin to understand it more. They give you suggestions. You're going out to lunch with them. I mean, you can't beat that. Kids are looking for work. That's the easiest work in the world. I wouldn't get a dummy. I'd get people who are intelligent and creative. I'd try to get the best possible people that I could. And you're not trying to convert them. None of that is what your intent is. Your intent is just to find the way they think. And you're going to say, you have an expertise we don't have. The expertise you have is that you understand who you are and who the people you associate with are. And you understand attitudes regarding the church. We basically want to say, we don't want to die as a church. And we need help, but we don't know who to hire. And we feel you are the experts. And at the end of the 13 weeks, you're gone. You're out of here unless you want to come back on your own, but we're not paying you anymore. So I suggested that. In fact, I got to that point in the message, Dean, and I thought, I think I'll just sit down. I don't think I'm going to suggest this because it will be very awkward to these people because nobody's ever thought of hiring people like that before. In fact, when Jesus, it was the closest I ever came, when Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount, it says the people were amazed at what he said. I had that feeling like, oh my goodness, they're amazed. And I try to do the presentation not so much as a sermon, but as a question answer. You would ask me a question, I would respond to it. You know, what are the characteristics of millennials and so on. And then when I came to the end, which was my climax to say that, the church may have trouble, but I think if Jesus were here today, he would be able to relate to these millennials. And I went down the different points as to why. And then I said, what questions do you have? So I took it out of the authoritative type of thing. And these are my suggestions as an outsider as to how you as a church can begin to relate to that group. And it was kind of like, what did we just hear? In fact, Dean, it was really interesting to me because I walked down from the pulpit to the front of the church where I usually do, and people kind of looked at me, then they walked by and nobody talked. It was just interesting. And then one of the older women in the church, gray-haired lady, very attractive, she came up and she said, I like what you said. And she said, I think that we probably don't understand millennials. And then the conversations began and it was kind of a buzz. And I think that my intent was not to create a buzz, because I've been in this so long now, but then I'm talking to people who don't have my background. I guess my feeling was, I'm going to give an idea that's a little bit outlandish, but at the same time, and I didn't say this in the sermon, but I wish I had, if you did hire five millennials, I mean, there would be a buzz in that church every Sunday they'd come. Those would be 13 exciting Sundays just to have those people there. I thought, you know, when you talk about a news story, you have one woman in your church who does the news on television. That is a great news story, you know, and it's a very positive for the church. And the more I thought about it, I did a good job, but then I didn't know how to take where people were. So you're kind of one of the members. In fact, you're the one who always invites me as a good friend. I always say, yeah, I'll come. So I thought I may have put Dean in a funny position too, because they're going to say, never invite that guy again. So tell me your thoughts.
Well, one of the things that has happened since you preached that sermon, there's been quite a buzz in the church and a lot of positive comments, emailing back and forth between members about the whole idea. It is a startling idea on the face of it. But when you stop and think about it, churches hire consultants all the time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Even yes. Our small church, startup new church, just 2.5 years into its existence, has already hired through the denomination a consultant who came to us in November and did a church health study, which the denomination required as we proceed along the way to becoming what our denomination calls a particular church. And that engagement cost a lot more in terms of money than what you're proposing here for 13 weeks of consultation with five millennials. Mm-hmm. So if you put it in that kind of a context, I think it's not nearly as startling as it seems. Probably the most puzzling part of the situation for people to process is, how would we go about talking to them after the service? What questions would we ask? We're not hiring these millennials, these young people, in the hopes that they will become members or even that they'll come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're hiring them so that they can experience the worship service from their perspective, where they are right now, and then have a dialogue with us about the service and their reaction to it. They already come with certain preconceived notions about church, which we've discussed in previous podcasts. Did our church measure up to those predispositions, or did we confound some of their expectations and that they found that we weren't exactly the way they may have thought an evangelical church would be?
Yeah, and it's important to also, and I said this, I don't think anyone will remember that I said it down the road if this actually is pursued or some alternative is pursued. These five millennials, they don't know the answer to what will draw millennials to the church. You will find them out of it more than you are. You know, you'll have better ideas because they never thought about that before. It's something that, but you've engaged them, and if they have good minds and you can choose the people you want, I mean, you can interview them and say, that person seems very creative. I think that's a person we want. They will help in the process of just an understanding of the huge differences and what some of the things that need to be done in the future. They will say, that's not how we learn. We are not people who learn by being talked at. They will feel like the preacher is talking at them, and you don't want that, or talking down to them. And maybe they won't, you know. But whatever they say, you just kind of receive it, and you process it, and you say, what would be, if you had suggestion, what would be a different way? Did you like the Sunday school class where it was more open-ended, or did you like the worship service, which was much more planned and so on? And they have opinions. You won't find that millennials are hesitant to share their opinion, but you bridge the gap as far as, if it's miles apart, you brought it down to the place where it's maybe a quarter of a mile apart. And in 13 weeks, you say, boy, we learned a lot. So I don't know, Dean, in terms of your church, it will be interesting to see the response over a period of time. I don't think it can be ignored, but at the same time, I will be curious because what was said there by me has to be said by many people all across the country. Somewhere we have to start talking to each other and learning. And we have to do it in a way that we don't have an agenda that you got to agree with us. Okay. So that's kind of where I am. It was an interesting Sunday. I found myself, you know, I've preached an awful lot in my life and I never get dry mouth. When I got to the place where I said, I'm going to tell you what I suggest, I thought I'd give anything, I'd give my kingdom for a drink of water, you know. But then I had to say it because I didn't know what else to say as an alternative. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. You have good people in your church. They're really good people.
You were very kind to come and share with us. And thank you for sharing on the podcast as well, because it does give those who've been listening to us over these weeks that we've talked about the millennial generation, the idea that, as we said at the beginning, we don't have answers to this problem, but we do know that there is a problem in the American church. And if the American church does not find a way to engage millennials, the church is going to die, because all of the people populating the church from the other generations will eventually pass off the scene. And if there is not a larger core group of millennials than the current 12 to 15%, the church is in trouble. So this is a very important subject, and your idea is certainly worth exploring. At the very least, for our podcast listeners, we've piqued their interest with something they may not have thought about, at least in the detail that we've talked about it here, because they haven't either had the time or perhaps the inclination to do the research that you've been doing over the last couple of years on this subject. So we're very grateful that we had the opportunity to talk about this. And we do appreciate the fact that you joined us for this time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.